Welcome to The Heartbeat of God with Stacy Lunsford, the pastor of poetry. Today's inspirational message of hope is entitled, What is the Purpose of Church Hurt? And before I get into this evening's message, I would like to share one of my original poems with you, entitled Manipulation. Eloquently speaking about manipulation, undercover exploitations, deceitful corruptions, utilizations, and mistreatments of witches, warlocks, and wizards. Falsehood everywhere. Looking for God? Nope, he is not here. God doesn't condone these demonic operations of false shepherds, false prophets, false apostles, false evangelists, false teachers, and all of the undercover reapers, you know, dead walkers sleeping, working for Satan, eating his poisoned bacon, regurgitating lies on top of lies, falling deeper into the church steeple. Strong deception, specializing in falsifications, misapplications of God's word, teaching sheep how to misappropriate God's word, teaching them how to twerk on the church floor like it was a disco. But dig this, God is about to let you know that you, Jezebel, Athaliah, and Leviathan, it's time for you to go. Isaiah, the 27th chapter and verse 1 says, in that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. And that is the poem entitled Manipulation. And tonight's message is entitled, What is the Purpose of Church Hurt? And the purpose of the poem that I shared entitled Manipulation is to highlight how church hurt has been strategically released through the spirit of manipulation. So, what is the purpose of church hurt? Is it the people in the church that we are fighting against? Or is it the flesh and blood? Now, if you're following along with me, I want you to go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. But I want you to bookmark John 10:10. The purpose of this message tonight is to help you see the works of the enemy and his plans to thwart God's plans and purpose for your life. You see, the devil is a liar and the truth is not in him. Let's take a look at John 10:10 and see what the word says about this liar. And just about everything that we're dealing with when we're dealing with this, with spiritual warfare, the spirit of robbery is in operation, whether you realize it or not. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So let's take a closer look so that we can see what the purpose of church hurt is, according to John 10:10. Let's take a closer look so that we can see what the enemy is up to. You see, the thief cometh not but for to steal. So, you know, I am a word person. And so I said, "God, what is a thief?" And when I looked up the definition of a thief is a person who steals, especially secretly, in private, behind closed doors. But we do have thieves. And I have to put that S on there for plural, because there are several thieves who will steal from you right in front of your face. They will openly steal from you. A thief is a person that steals, especially secretly or openly. And sometimes they do it with force, and sometimes they do it without force. Steal is to take the property of another person or to take something without permission or right. And again, sometimes people will steal secretly, and other times people will steal by force. So the word says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." So I want you to understand that the purpose of church hurt is to steal from you. So what's inside of you that the enemy wants to steal from you? What's inside of you that the enemy wants to kill you? What's inside of you that the enemy wants to destroy you? It's important that we understand who we are from a biblical perspective. It's important that we understand who we are as children of the Most High God. The Word of God tells us that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people. We are God's special treasures. We are very peculiar, and God deposited gifts inside of us, talents, skills, and abilities. God said that we are great, and there is greatness inside of us. And the Word of God tells us in Philippians 4:13 that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So let me let you in on a little secret before we go to our next word out of John 10:10, because we went over the thief cometh not but for to steal. And our next word is going to be to kill. And the little secret I'm going to let you in on: the purpose of church hurt is to steal and to kill what God has deposited inside of you. Whether you know it or not, the enemy has placed a hit on your life, and it's called assassination. And the enemy would love to cause you to abort your assignment. So what is your assignment? What is your purpose? What is the work that God has called you to do for him? And I want you to take some time and answer this question, because it's not about your pastor. It's not about your Sunday school teacher. It's not about your mother. It's not about your father. It is about you and God. Who are you? What did God tell you about you? What did God tell you that he wanted you to do? What are the gifts that God placed inside of you? What is the greatness that is inside of you? Why did God make your name great? Why did God give you a great people? Why is the enemy coming up against you? And I want to remind you that God said in his word that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that he would raise up a standard. Church hurt is running rampant. Many people are being wounded and hurt in the church. And the enemy is operating through the spirit of manipulation and the spirit of falsehood and deception. And it is working closely with John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So what does it mean to kill? Well, kill is to deprive life in any manner. It's to cause death. It's to slay. Kill is to destroy, to do away with, to extinguish, to put out a fire, a light. And in the context of this message, kill is to kill everything that God has placed inside of you. You see, the devil does not want to see you come into the fullness of what God has created you to be. And the enemy doesn't want you to do the things that God said that you was going to do for him. Kill is to put out the flame of something, to stop it from burning, to stop it from shining its light. Now, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill. And now we're going to look at destroy. When you destroy something, you reduce it to useless fragments, a useless form. And if we was looking at a building that caught on fire and the remains of the building, it's destroyed. It's dissolved. It's injured beyond repair or renewal. Destroy is to demolish. Destroy is to ruin. Destroy is to annihilate. And right here, I want to highlight John 10:10, because we just reviewed the definitions of to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So these definitions, through these definitions, we see the function of the people in the church that are used by Satan to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I pray that this message is blessing you. And I want to take a look at Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in the 6th verse. And if you could meet me there, that would be great. Because we have to learn how to recognize the operations of the enemy. God said in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 10, starting at verse 10, Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we have just read Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 10 to verse 18. And we read that in the King James Version. And I'm going to turn over to the Passion Translation as I read verses 10 through 13. And again, this is talking about spiritual warfare, and we're talking about church hurt and the purpose of church hurt. The purpose of church hurt is to cause us to abort our assignment. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if the enemy can destroy you through the artful skill of manipulation, guess what? You're going to move off your post. And some of us, we have moved off of our post. But it was a part of our process of being processed. And some of us, we got back up, knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. And some of us, we got stuck because the devastation of the wounds, the devastation of the manipulation, the betrayals, it wounded you deeply. And it hurt you so bad that many people have stopped going to church and many people have stopped believing in God. And some people have gotten angry with God because of how other people in the church have misrepresented him. And so I want to talk about spiritual warfare from a biblical perspective by reading again Ephesians, the 6th chapter, but I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. I just read in the King James Version, and then we're going to go right back into this message. So Ephesians 6 verse 10, now my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for you, truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Verse 11 says, put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings. So when I read that in the King James Version, the King James Version tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But in the Passion, I love the Passion Version because it says your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon little g gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so you're protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Now, earlier, I shared a post on my wall, and the message was about being successful. And I said, there are no failures on my page. And the reason I said that there was no failures on my page, because the devil is a liar, and the devil loves to tell people that they are a failure. And a lot of times people come into agreement with the spirit of lies, a lion spirit. And the lion spirit works closely with the spirit of robbery. Now, when we go back to John 10:10, we learn that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if we are listening to the lies of the enemy, if we receive the lies of the enemy, if we believe the lies of the enemy, we are going to come out of agreement with what God said, and we're going to come into agreement with the lion spirit. And once we come into agreement with the lion spirit, the enemy has legal access to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I want to go back to John 10:10 and read what Jesus said. Jesus is the one teaching in John 10:10. And the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So Jesus is telling you what the spirit of robbery is doing in your life. And the spirit of robbery is wreaking havoc in your life through church hurt. The purpose of church hurt is to hurt you, period. To deceive you, to manipulate you, and to cause you to stop going to church, stop interacting with God, stop trusting people, stop praying, stop reading your words, stop praising, stop worshiping. Most people that get wounded in the church, what do? They go right back out into the world. And then we have all of these wounded people that are looking for love in all of the wrong places. And Satan is right there watching, waiting to set you up. But I want you to know tonight that your setback was a setup for your comeback. You see, the enemy had a purpose and the enemy had a plan for the church hurt. But God's plan outweighs the plans of the enemy. And I want to remind you of God's word in Nehemiah 13:2. You see, they hired Balaam to curse the people, but God turned the curse into a blessing. So everybody that has experienced church hurt, guess what? God has turned the curse into a blessing. Some people that have been wounded in the church are now wounded healers. And they have learned from their experiences. God has used the church hurt and the lessons that they have learned to mature them and to perfect those things concerning them. And I want to go back to Ephesians 6:10 for a moment, because oftentimes when we experience opposition in the church, we tend to come against the person in which the spirit of oppression is operating through. And I want to take you back to the word of God, because the word of God says that our hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings. So let me give you an example. You come to church, you're all excited. You was worshiping God at home, because worship is a lifestyle for you. You are a worshiper. You understand that they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you had a glorious time at home with the Holy Spirit. You're en route to church. You get to church and you're greeted at the door with a nasty attitude and disposition, and it is the usher from hell that is on the door. They are not smiling at you. They are growling at you. They are not happy to see you, and they really don't want to walk you in and show you where you need to go and sit down. Now, when you are so excited and just in the spirit and you're longing to get into the service so that you can continue to worship God, this spirit attacks you. And the purpose of the oppression through that usher at the door is to discourage you. And many times we come into agreement with the spirit of discouragement, but the attitude in which the usher at the door is operating causes a reaction from you. So when we don't know any better, sometimes our flesh will rise up. And you can roll your eyes. You can look at that usher like she's crazy or he's crazy. Or you can smile and you can say, God bless you. And just let them stay where they are, because you realize that no weapons formed against you shall prosper. So you're not going to get upset. You're not going to allow the enemy to steal your joy. But I want to keep it real. We're listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and we like to keep it real. There are some times when you don't want to smile. You don't want to be nice. You don't want to say the right things when you're being disrespected and mistreated for absolutely no reason at all. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever entered into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, into the sanctuary, and you were stopped in your tracks because of the atmosphere, because of that person around you, whether it was the usher at the door or the usher that escorted you to your seat or the person sitting next to you? Maybe you was praising God too loud. Maybe you was radical. Maybe you was singing too maybe your song was ushering the presence of the Lord, and it irritated the person next to you. So we have to be mindful that the devil operates through people. And we don't want to attack the person. We want to attack the spirit in operation. Now, God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Now, the purpose of the mistreatment and the manipulation is to intimidate you and to cause you to operate in the spirit of fear. And when you're mistreated at church, whether it's a usher or a member of the church or a pastor, a minister, whatever form of mistreatment, the goal is to intimidate you, so that you will back up, so that you will shut up, so that you will give up, so that you will surrender to the spirit of discouragement. Now, the spirit of Jezebel, earlier before I went into the message, I shared one of my poems entitled Manipulation. And I'm just going to go back to the beginning part, because I said that manipulation, undercover manipulation, is undercover exploitations. Manipulation is deceitful corruptions and utilizations and mistreatments of witches, warlocks, and wizards. So I want to bring awareness to the fact that everybody in church does not belong to God. There are witches in the church. There are warlocks in the church. There are wizards in the church. And let me tell you something, falsehood is everywhere. And people are coming to church and people are looking for God. And dig this, God is not at half of these churches. Demonic operations. Satan loves to counterfeit everything that God does. And so when demonic operations are actively engaged through the false shepherd, the false prophets, the false apostles, the false evangelists, the false teachers. And I'm just going to say spiritual leaders collectively. When all of this falsehood is in operation, we have the greatest level of manipulation and falsifications and misapplications of God's word. And many people are being deceived. And I want to make it perfectly clear tonight that the purpose of church hurt is to cause deception and demonic manipulations that will cause true believers to be misled, to be led astray, and to turn and walk away from God. So when you are sitting under a false shepherd, a false teacher, preacher, whatever the case may be, a false leader, that spirit of falsehood is operating in the church. So when you enter into worship, and I want to be very careful with what I say, because even though false is in operation, there is still some truth, because we always have some true believers that are in the midst. So although you may be at a church where witches and warlocks and wizards are there, please understand that true men and women of God are there. True men and women of God that are in position, that are praying. They are fully clothed with the whole armor of God, and they are praying the way that God is leading them to pray. But I want you to understand that some of these signs that you see, they are false signs. When you are sitting under false leadership, when you are sitting under false shepherds and prophets and apostles and evangelists and teachers, dig this. It is false praise. It is false worship. Who are you really worshiping when the focus is not on God? What is the purpose of church hurt? The purpose of church hurt is to seduce you. And through the artful skill of seduction, the enemy's goal is to lure you away from God, to turn you away from God. The enemy wants you to turn your back on God. And he creates situations and circumstances where you will be hurt, you will be wounded, you will be disappointed, you will be betrayed. Somebody will betray you, and it will be somebody close to you. It will be somebody that you trust. It will be somebody that you broke bread with. Somebody that you prayed with, Bible study, like you did everything together. You were growing, and they betrayed you. And this, if this is you, I want you to understand that everything is working together for your good. Nothing has been wasted. Nothing has been lost. God is going to use all of it for his glory. Excuse me. God is going to use everything that you went through for his glory. God is going to use it to mature you, to develop you. It's a part of your process of being processed. So our foundational scripture was John 10:10, and I'm going to read that because it's important that we understand that the culprit behind all of this is the spirit of robbery. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So before I go any further, are you living an abundant life? Are you happy where you are? And I'm not talking about just at the place where you go to worship. Because when you are in relationship with God, you worship him wherever you are. You worship him at home. You worship him in the car. You worship him in the shower. You can worship God when you sitting at your desk at work. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We're talking about the purpose of church hurt. You see, the enemy would love to use the church hurt to break you down, to tell you that You was wrong for believing in God. You was wrong for believing that there's love in the church. You know, there are so many times where people will come to the church that we gather at. I don't want to name no churches because I'm trying to like behave. But sometimes you could go to a church and you say, oh, it is so much love in here. I feel so much love. Everybody is so nice. They so friendly. And that's true. But as you start growing, as you start developing, as your light starts shining, the spirit of jealousy that was there all along, it wakes up because the purpose is to steal from you. The purpose is to kill you. The purpose is to destroy you. Now, we can't go around killing people, but if they can kill the gifts inside of you, If the enemy can steal your voice and cause you to be silent when God said to speak, if God gave you a gift of prayer, but you stopped praying because of the opposition you experiencing in church, guess what? You allowed the enemy to steal your voice. The purpose of stealing your voice is to prevent you from praying. Now, why doesn't the enemy want you to pray? Suzette Thomas, you are an intercessor. And the enemy hates it when you pray. Every time you open up your mouth to pray, God causes an earthquake to take place. And it's the same for you, Brother Glenn. It's the same for you, Gertrude. Every time we open up our mouths to pray, God is causing an earthquake to take place. And when God causes an earthquake to take place through our prayers, guess what? The very foundation of prison doors is going to experience the power of God. And the power of God is going to supernaturally open those prison doors. It's going to shake that foundation so hard that all of the doors are going to open up and all of the prisoners are going to be set free. So you know what? The enemy didn't want me to share this message because the enemy wants everybody that has been wounded in the church to stay away from the word of God, to stop praying and never, ever pray again. Have you ever experienced a season of prayerlessness? And if so, did you ever go to God and ask him, why is it that you can't pray? You see, sometimes we want to pray and we want to cast our cares upon God. And sometimes we want to intercede for other people. And we may start out good, but somewhere in the process of that prayer, we struggle and we can't find the words to say. And right here, I want us to go back to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, because the word of God tells us in Ephesians 6 and 11 that we are to put on God's complete set of armor that he has provided to us, for us, so that we will be protected as we fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. So one of the strategies that the enemy loves to use is to stop us from praying. And when you get ready to pray, you fall asleep. When you get ready to read the word of God, you fall asleep. You get so tired. But if you're going to go to the movies, if you're going to sit up and you're going to watch TV, you can watch 3-4 movies till 2-3 o'clock in the morning and you wide awake. But when you try and pray, you struggle. And you know why? It's an evil strategy. It's the enemy that's fighting against you. It's the spirit of robbery that comes to steal your prayers. So the function of the people in the church that are used by Satan is to steal and to kill and to destroy. But the purpose of the people in the church and the function of the people in the church that are being used by God is to edify, is to build up, and it's to empower the people in the church today. Some believers do not know that they are being used by the devil. The spirit of pride, the spirit of deception, the spirit of falsehood, and the spirit of delusion has blinded them to this truth. And that's why I advise you not to confront a person that you know is operating in the spirit of pride. That causes them to operate in the spirit of error. And I'm going to tell you why. A person that is operating in the spirit of pride, they do not see through their spiritual eyes because Satan has blinded them. And I want us to go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 4th verse. Among them, the God of this world, which is Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And I'm going to read that again. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 4th verse. Among them, the God, little g, of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So immediately, I want to go back to what is the purpose of church hurt? And the examples through John 10:10 that says the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if the enemy can stop you from praying, if the enemy can stop you from preaching, if the enemy can stop you from teaching, if the enemy can stop you from sharing the gospel, if the enemy can stop you from operating in love, if the enemy can discourage you enough that you will never do the things that God has called you to do, guess what? The people, the unbelievers, they will continue to be blind because you won't open up your mouth and say the things that God has told you to say. The word of God says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So it's important that we share our testimonies, because in sharing our testimonies of what God has done for us, especially when we share with an unbeliever, that unbeliever will be touched by your testimony and they will believe. They will accept Jesus Christ into their lives as Lord and personal Savior. So right here, I want to go back to the spirit of pride, because sometimes we have believers that have accepted Jesus Christ into their lives as Lord and personal Savior, but their eyes are blinded by Satan through pride. And the spirit of pride takes control. And I want to identify that the strong man for the spirit of pride is the spirit of haughtiness, the spirit of superiority, being condescending, thinking you better than other people. And the spirit of pride will blind you to the things that are true, the things that are righteous. The spirit of pride will cause you to operate in the spirit of error. And once you operate in the spirit of error, you are being led by Satan. You are not being led by God. So never approach a prideful person and try to help them to see their pride. And I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you have pride inside of you? That's a good question that I want you to go and talk to God about that. Because we all have areas where we have secret sins. And if you have any pride inside of you, I'm not talking about pride where you're proud of your accomplishments, pride where you're confident in who you are because of what God said about you. That's different. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being prideful where you think you better than other people, being prideful where you are operating in a spirit of error and falsehood, and you are leading people astray. You are operating in a spirit of robbery, and you are operating in a form of trickery and deception, and you are being used as a tool by the enemy to steal, to kill, and to destroy God's people. So never approach a prideful person and try to help them see their pride. And never try to hide the pride that you see inside of you. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." Well, I want to share just a couple of points with you to let you know how the spirit of robbery operates in the church through people. And keep in mind that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. We're not fighting against the people, but we're fighting against the spirit that is in operation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells us that we wrestle, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we want to thank God for our spiritual weapons. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that God will release new strategies, that he will teach you how to strategically attack the enemy and to hit him where it hurts, to hit him where it is going to shut him down and shut down his operations, where it will dismantle every assignment against your life. You see, the devil is underneath your feet. God told us in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give unto you power and authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." So that means that church hurt has to back up off of you. So that means anybody that has come up against you, they have to back up off of you. God has given you power and authority, but are you using your power? Are you using your authority? So when we see a person that is operating in the spirit of pride, they will be haughty, they will be condescending, and they will look down on you. They will tell lies about you. They will slander your name. And if you try to help them see their pride, guess what? They are going to turn on you. Remember when I was talking about betrayal? The number one reason people are wounded in the church is because of betrayal. And many people get upset. And I never understood that, even when I used to get upset, because Judas betrayed Jesus. And Judas was one of the 12 disciples. And Jesus knew all along when he chose Judas that Judas was going to betray him. So we need to mature in our understanding and understand that the betrayal is just a tool that the enemy is going to use to do a couple of things. The betrayal, God is going to use the person that betrayed us. God is going to use the hurt from that betrayal to perfect those things concerning us. God is going to use the betrayal to show us that we are not who we thought we were. See, many times we say, "I will trust in the Lord with my whole heart and lean not into my own understanding." It's good that we say that. We can quote scriptures, but do we really know the word? Does the word really know us? Because when that hurt and that pain comes, are we really trusting God? So the betrayal, God uses that betrayal to show us the areas that we need to rely on him, that we need to depend on him, and that we need to understand that he is our minister of defense. God will protect us. We don't have to open up our mouths. We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to retaliate. We don't have to say one word. But when we expose the works of the enemy, when that enemy knows that they've been found out and they turn on you, guess what? They will rip you to shreds. So earlier I mentioned that there are witches, there are warlocks, and there are wizards in the church. And they will talk about you like a dog. They will discredit you. They will lie on you. They will make false accusations about you. They will attempt to assassinate you. They will attempt to isolate you. They will irritate you and make you feel like you was a mistake. We're talking about church hurt. And if you allow church hurt to make you feel like you are a mistake or that what you did was a mistake, the spirit of discouragement is going to attach itself to you. And now you are going to operate in the spirit of heaviness and you're not going to see anything positive in anything around you. All you're going to see is doom and gloom because now the powers of darkness have taken over your thought process. And now through demonic manipulations, the spirit of mind binding, every mind binding spirit has you so confused and have you thinking about so many things and have you discouraged and downtrodden that you're not even thinking about the word of God. You go to the word of God and you get discouraged and confused. And it's like, I don't even know where to go. And that may seem strange to you, but that's what the spirit of confusion will do. These mind-binding spirits are very strong. And that's why I want you to understand that sometimes you can be working, you could be reading your word, you could be cooking dinner, and all of a sudden you get a sharp pain in your head, or you get a sharp pain over your eye, or you may get a sharp pain in your chest, in your side. It can happen anywhere on your body. But it's the enemy aiming a fiery dart at you to discourage you, to distract you. And sometimes these arrows, they are dipped in discouragement. They are dipped in despair. You know how back in the gladiator movies, the gladiators, and sometimes with the arrows and the bows or the spears, they would dip the tips in the poison so that whenever that arrow infiltrated the warriors that they was fighting, they would die instantly. And sometimes they would die a slow death. Well, the enemy is very, very crafty. And the enemy loves to shoot these fiery darts at us. But I want to go back to the whole armor of God for a moment, because God said, put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert, then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. Now, what are the blessings of peace? The blessings of peace is the peace of the gospel, the peace of the word. The confusion that comes through the arrow that the enemy shot at you, the purpose is to distract you. Many people are walking around distracted, wounded, and confused because of demonic manipulation. But after this message, glory, hallelujah, somebody going to get set free. Somebody going to learn how to fight back. Somebody going to silence the voice of the enemy. And that hijacked spirit that's been trying to take over and back you up, guess what? You're going to back up that hijacked spirit, because now you've been empowered to tell the devil no. You've been empowered to tell the devil to get behind you, to get underneath your feet where he belong. God has given you a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And it's time to tap into that power. So I want to go back to the diabolical attacks of the enemy. You see, the enemy has been sent on an assignment, and he is operating through people. Some people love God. Some people know God, and they are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of them are not your brothers and sisters in Christ. They belong to Satan. They are Satan's children, and they are witches. They are warlocks, and they are wizards. So when you look at it, when you let's look at a chess game. Satan and God are they playing this chess game. And so all of Satan's pieces on the chessboard, they're diabolical agents. And so God has his angels. And so we got this game going on, but really it's a war that's going on. And the purpose of Satan is to take you out, is to kill you, is to destroy you. But God wants you to see that he has placed something in you so powerful that the enemy can't touch you. The enemy can't kill you. The enemy can't destroy you. We have to learn how to refute the lies of the enemy. We need to learn how to come out of agreement with the lies of the enemy. So what do you do when the enemy comes up against you? What do you do when the enemy uses people without bodies designed to frustrate you? What do you do when the enemy uses people to blow your light out? One of the things that I always say is shine your shine. And I'm going to say shine your shine until the day God takes me home. And don't get all excited, because I'm not going nowhere no time soon, because I have work to do. And my life message is to tell you to shine your shine for Jesus. God has saved you. God has healed you. God has delivered you for such a time as this. And the purpose of church hurt is to cause you to put your own light out by coming into agreement with the buffoonery of the enemy. Aren't you tired of the enemy backing you up in the corner? Aren't you tired of the enemy silencing you, stealing your power, stealing your voice, stealing your prayer, stealing your praise? Aren't you ready to roll your sleeves up and get into this fight? Aren't you tired of being beat down? God did not give us a spirit of fear. I want to look at Ephesians 6 and 12 for a moment. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the five things I want you to look at, and it's all in this scripture. I'm not making anything up. I'm not giving you my own words. Number one, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So it's not your brother or your sister that you see in the church building. It is a spirit that is operating through them, that is sent on an assignment from the enemy. We are wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I want you to understand that the devil has a hierarchy. There are different levels of demons, and they have different assignments. And I'm not talking about the little familiar spirit is a spirit that observes you, that watches you, and loves to go back and tell all of the things that you do. Is really not going to cause harm to you. It's just going to record, and it specializes in surveillance. Like if you had cameras set up in your home, that familiar spirit is like watching. You see, Satan can't be everywhere all of the time, and he tries hard to be like God, but that's why he got so many demons. But we have powers and principalities, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Just look at how that's broken down. There are different levels, and there are different levels, different military levels. And I want you to understand that we're talking about spiritual warfare. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. So God, he has angels, and God has a hierarchy as well. Remember, Satan loves to imitate everything that God does. So from a demonic and a satanic perspective, Satan is using church hurt to cause division, separation, and discord in the church. And he's doing it through the flesh and blood that we are really not fighting against, but we are. So the enemy has so strategically put us against one another that we are not standing on the biblical principles of God's word, but we're being led by our flesh, our feelings, and our emotions. We are not being led by the Holy Ghost, but we're being led by the spirit of frustration and irritation. We are being led by the demonic manipulations of the enemy. And somebody need to shout glory, hallelujah. I thank you, God, for the scales that are falling from my eyes. We don't have to be hoodwinked anymore. You see, God is strategically exposing the works of the enemy through this message. You see, Satan uses people as pawns to cause division, separation, and discord. And he does that through lies, gossip, slander, competition, jealousy, manipulation, intimidation, controlling spirits, And if we want to know what a controlling spirit is, just read the book of Jezebel. I mean, not the book of Jezebel. Go to the Old Testament and start reading Jezebel's story. Or go to the book of Nehemiah and read about Haman. Haman operated in a controlling spirit. He was very controlling. He was very manipulative. The Jezebel was very manipulative, very controlling. And I want you to understand that the spirit of Jezebel is the forerunner for the spirit of Leviathan. And to make that plain, John the Baptist was the forerunner for Jesus. So again, Satan loves to counterfeit everything that God does. So when we look at church hurt, we look at the spirit of manipulation. We look at jealousy. We look at competition. We look at slander. We look at gossip. We look at lies. We look at intimidation. And earlier I said that the enemy uses the spirit of intimidation to cause fear, to cause us to back up, to cause us to get paralyzed where we will not move forward. And I want to go to Psalms 23 for a moment, because the word of God says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through, I am going through. I am not stuck. I am not paralyzed. I cannot stay here. I cannot park here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with you. His rod and his staff is comforting you. God is preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemies, where he is anointing your head with oil. So have you been wounded in the church? Do you know somebody that's been wounded in the church? All I want you to do is say a prayer for them that they will be released from church hurt tonight. Pray that they will be released from the spirit of demonic manipulation and demonic oppression. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus that the spirit of robbery is broken, and the assignments against God's people to steal, to kill, and to destroy has been broken. It's that simple. He has no legal access. So the purpose of the spirit of manipulation and deception and falsehood is to distort the word of God. It's to discredit the true children of God. Is to mislead God's people. Is to cause a split in the church. And the purpose of church hurt is to run true believers out of the church. So I have a couple of questions that I want to present to you so that you can ask God. God, am I at the church? No, God, are you at the church that I am currently attending? That's what I want you to ask God. God, are you at the church that I am currently attending? Question number two, God, is this the church that you have chosen for me to grow into spiritual maturity and learn more about you in your word? Question number three, God, what is the purpose of the mistreatment of the hurt that I have and I am experiencing at the church that I am currently attending? Question number four, God, what do you want me to learn from the hurt or the mistreatment? Question number five, how do I respond to the mistreatment of those that are hating on me versus loving on me? And I'm gonna pause there for a moment at question number five, because every action has a reaction. And when we respond in our flesh, guess what? We're gonna miss the mark. And it's okay. We all fall short of the glory of God. It's very hard to respond in love when somebody mistreats you or they hurt you. And God understands this. And I'm not saying that for us to abuse his grace and just blatantly sin. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that as we mature and as we apply the biblical principles of God's word, and as we surrender to the leading, the prompting of the Holy Ghost, we will learn how to respond differently. We will even learn how to respond in love to those that are hating on us. And you know what? I didn't always respond that way. And to be honest, I still got a little Peter in me. So, you know, I have a lot of haters, and I don't focus on the haters. I don't focus on what they doing. But some of them, they think I'm a punk, Brother Glenn. And you know what? Keep thinking I'm a punk. But if you step to me wrong, don't think I'm gonna be so quick to turn the other cheek. I don't know. I might take my sword out and cut your ear off like Peter did. You know, I'm still a work in progress. God is still perfecting those things concerning me. But I also know that I want to please God. So even though I may have some tendencies in me where, you know, God is still working on me, he's still perfecting those things concerning me. And we need to be honest and recognize where we are. We need to recognize our shortcomings. We need to know those things that irritate us, that frustrate us. We need to know those things that the enemy used to push our buttons. Because when those things happen, we need to respond in the spirit and not respond in the flesh. So I just want to put a plug in for Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 22 to 23. And there we learn about the fruit of the spirit. A lot of time people say fruits of the spirit, but it's a fruit of the spirit. And we need to grow and develop with the fruit of the spirit. So number 6, God, can you open the eyes of my heart and grant me spiritual wisdom, knowledge, an understanding of what I am experiencing and order my steps in your word. And lead me and guide me to your paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Now, out of all of the questions that I presented to you tonight, number 6 touches my heart. God, can you open the eyes of my heart and grant me spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? That's the most powerful prayer that we can pray. God, can you open my eyes? Open the eyes of my heart. And there's a song that says, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. If we want to see him, all we have to do is ask. So as we come to the close of this message, careful examination of God's answers to your questions will let you know if you are at the right church or not. And whether God's answer is yes or whether God's answer is no, there are lessons to learn in the spiritual warfare that you have or are enduring, although it is painful at times. Dig this. God will use it to strengthen you, and God will use it to build you up. Regardless of what church you attend, never, ever forget that God is your source. The church is not your source. So draw closer to God versus drawing closer to the church. The church is a building that we go to. It's good to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that all these things can be added unto you. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you as you seek guidance in God's word, coupled with prayer and with fasting. So 2 Timothy verse 15, it says, study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a workman that has been tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. So today is the turning point of your breakthrough. Tonight, scales are falling from our eyes. Tonight, the Holy Spirit has spoken to us. Tonight, we have learned about spiritual warfare. We have learned about church hurt and the purpose of church hurt. Tonight, the enemy has been exposed. The spirit of robbery has been exposed. Tonight, we are going to stay alert because the enemy is going to try and do everything in his power to make us go back to the darkness. But God has brought us out of the darkness, hallelujah, into his marvelous light. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Knowledge is in the word of God. Knowledge is released when we ask God to give us knowledge. The word tells us if anyone needs wisdom to ask for it. Do you need wisdom tonight? Now, I want to share something with you. Although the topic was the purpose of church hurt, I want you to understand that whatever kind of hurt that you have experienced, hurt in a relationship, hurt in a marriage, disappointment in a friendship, loss of a job, whatever hurt you have experienced, maybe you were betrayed, maybe somebody deceived you, maybe somebody walked out of your life, maybe you helped somebody time after time, you always came to their rescue, and when you needed them, they was never there for you. You know what? We all have a choice, a decision to make. When people do stuff to us that hurts us, and what I have learned to do is connected to what I learned as a small child when we had fire drills in school and the fire department would tell us to stop, to drop, and to roll. But I like to stop and drop and pray. I'm going to deal with how I feel. And I might be angry. I might be hurt. I may be bitter. I may be frustrated. I may be irritated. I may be exasperated. These are some of the normal things that we experience. But we don't have to embrace it. We don't have to be controlled by it. So feel the way you feel. Acknowledge what was done to you. Acknowledge how it made you feel. Then go to God in prayer. And this is where I'm going to close the message out, because it's important that we go to God in prayer. Earlier, I shared a message out of Psalms 118, and that message, the scripture that I used, it was in verses 4 and 7, and it says, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress," is right here in verse 6. Don't miss it. Verse 6. "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth." So I just gave you an example of what we need to do when we're in distress. We need to call upon the Lord. We need to cry out to God. There is power in crying out to God. Do you know that all in the book of Exodus, when the Israelites were in Egypt, they called out to God. They cried out to God. And when God got ready, he sent the deliverer. And the deliverer, his name was Moses. And Moses went and he told Pharaoh to let my people go. And he went before Pharaoh, and God, remember, God gave him the staff, and the staff turned into the snake. And then God also told him to put his hand inside his shirt, and then his hand turned to leprosy. But when he was before Pharaoh, he only performed one of the miracles, and he put the staff down. And then when Pharaoh called for his magicians, the wizards, the warlocks, the witches, the sorcerers, they came and they imitated the same thing that Moses did. But Moses' snake ate both of the sorcerer sneaks. But Pharaoh didn't obey the instructions of the man of God that was speaking for God. So really, Pharaoh ignored God, not Moses. And the point I'm making is Moses did not completely obey God. You see, God gave Moses two signs. He said, use this staff and then put your hand inside. If Moses would have did that other staff, that other miracle, that other sign, the magicians wouldn't have been able to imitate that. How can you put your hand inside your shirt and it comes out with leprosy, and then you put it back in and the leprosy is gone? There is no way. Supernatural power, supernatural manifestation of God's word. Do you know that God wants to use you as a modern day Moses? Do you know that the enemy has been fighting you tooth and nail through church hurt so that he can discourage you? So that you won't open up your mouth and tell Pharaoh to let my people go? Do you know that God has empowered you? God has equipped you? And he is waiting for you to tell his people to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, glory, hallelujah, you will see them again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. So have you been wounded in the church? I apologize on behalf of the body of Christ. I apologize on behalf of every spiritual leader that has never apologized for their actions in hurting, wounding, or mistreating a person under their leadership. I apologize to you. And I ask that you forgive those that have hurt you, forgive those that have wounded you. And I want to make this thing personal. If I have wounded you, if I have done anything to hurt you, please forgive me. God is pleased when we humble ourselves before him. I'm on this live broadcast for one reason and one reason alone. I love God and I love his people. And I'm tired of seeing the enemy destroy my people for lack of knowledge. Many people are walking away from God because they've been wounded in the church and God didn't do anything to them. They've been hurt by people that have misrepresented God. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we bless your holy name. Hallelujah, God. We magnify you. We glorify you. We exalt you. We thank you for this message. We thank you for John 10:10. We thank you that the enemy, the thief, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Father, we bind the spirit of robbery. We bind the spirit of theft, of death. We bind the spirit of destruction. And Father, everybody that was wounded in the church, that left the church and they're on the path of self-destruction, we thank you for divine U-turns tonight. We thank you for loosing the spirit of repentance, God, upon this earth, upon this world, upon the body of believers, those that say they love you, those that have accepted Jesus Christ into their heart as Lord and personal Savior. Father, we take this opportunity to pray for those that are hurting people in the church. We cry out for mercy. We cry out, God, for broken and contrite hearts. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would remove the spirit of pride and that you would loose a spirit of humility. Father, let those that are walking and operating in the spirit of falsehood and deception, those that are operating in the spirit of demonic manipulation, those that are hoodwinking your people. Father, we pray for them right now in the name of Jesus, those that know you but have gone astray. And Father, those that are playing, acting like they know you, acting like they in a relationship with you, but they don't belong to you, oh God. Use this for your glory. Oh God, pierce their hearts Let them renounce Satan and give their lives to you by accepting Jesus Christ into their lives as Lord and personal Savior. God, let every witch and warlock and wizard, every sorcerer that is operating in the spirit of falsehood in the church, undercover, God, let the anointing, let the power of God fall fresh upon them. Show them your power, God, and let them renounce Satan. Let them renounce God, the very one that has used them as a tool, as an instrument of destruction in the lives of your people. We're crying out to you, oh God. You said that when we call out to you, that you would answer us. And God, we're asking you to hear our humble cry. Many people have been wounded through church hurt. Many people have walked away from the church, God, and they're walking around in the wilderness. Moses was with the people in the Israelites in the wilderness, oh God, the Israelites, and they wandered around and around and around, and they was on a mountaintop a little bit too long. And so it is today, God. Many of your people have gone astray and they're experiencing the wilderness like never before. Many are afraid. Many are broken. Many, Father, simply don't know what to do, don't know who to trust. But God, I place you in remembrance of your word. You said in Psalm 71 and verse 1 that we will not be put to shame for putting our trust in you. So the first thing that I want to destroy, oh God, with the blood and the fire of God is the spirit of lies. I dismantle the spirit of lies. I dismantle that lying spirit. That lying spirit that came to steal, to kill, and to destroy your people, God. I decree in the name of Jesus that your people are coming out of agreement with that lying spirit. And they are coming in agreement with the spirit of truth and the spirit of righteousness. And I decree in the name of Jesus that the spirit of righteousness is rising up within them. I thank you for the whole armor of God. I thank you for the strong belt of truth. I thank you for the helmet of salvation. I thank you for the breastplate of righteousness. I thank you for their feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel. I thank you for the sword of the spirit, which is your word and the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. By the power and authority that you have given unto me, I blow out the fiery darts of the enemy that has been strategically released against your people. And God, I take this opportunity to say thank you for my wilderness experience. Thank you for the lessons that I learned about church hurt, God. If I had not learned anything, I wouldn't be able to deliver this message. So I thank you for using it for your glory. I thank you for turning somebody's story around tonight, God. I thank you for opening our eyes and causing us to see. God, we want to say thank you because your word says in everything, give thanks unto the Lord. For the Lord is good and his mercy endure forever. So we thank you, God, for the unction of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for teaching us how to yield to the Holy Ghost. We thank you, oh God, for teaching us how to walk in the spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Take over, take complete control as you lead us, as you guide us into your path of righteousness. Father, we thank you for everything that we have learned. We thank you for everything that we are learning. And we renounce We decree that we are out of agreement with the spirit of gossip, the spirit of slander, the spirit of competition and rivalry, jealousy, manipulation. God, we come out of agreement with these spirits. They can no longer control us. We come in agreement with your word, with your love, with your power, God. We loose a sound mind. We thank you that we're going to keep our mind stayed on you so that you can keep us in perfect peace, God. That's what your word says in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Father, we put our hope in you. We put our trust in you. And we know that we will not be put to shame for putting our trust in you. And we forgive those that have hurt us. We forgive those that have wounded us. We forgive those that submitted to the demonic manipulations of the enemy and came into agreement with Satan to be a tool to be used to discourage us. And we thank you for your word that says what the enemy meant for our bad, that you worked it out for our good. You meant it for our good, God. So we just say thank you for using church hurt for your glory. And we ask that you be glorified. We ask that you be exalted. Thank you for releasing the gifts of healing tonight and the working of miracles. Father, I ask that you would release an anointing on this message that will cause scales to fall from blinded eyes. And maybe somebody is going to listen to this message later tonight or tomorrow or next week. Whenever they listen to this message, I pray in the name of Jesus that they will have a Jesus encounter. And they will begin to recognize the warning signs of the enemy around their lives and their situations. And they will begin to pray according to your word, oh God. Thank you for teaching us about the whole armor of God. Thank you for teaching us about the pieces of the armor. Thank you for maturing us. Thank you for developing us. Give us a new love for you, a new love for each other. And where there was jealousy, anger, and hatred, Father, we place it under the blood of Jesus. And we release a spirit of love. We thank you for outpouring of your spirit. Father, teach us how to love one another. Your word says that love covers a multitude of sins and we need more love. We're not asking for new love. Lord, teach us how to use the love that we have. Teach us how to love one another. Teach us how to pray for one another. Teach us how to be concerned about our brothers and sisters in Christ and to pray for them and to pray, help them pray through their situations. There are many people that are listening to this message, God, that have experienced church hurt at one time or another in their lives. And you have matured them and you have delivered them and they have their own testimony. And I thank you, Father, for a Holy Ghost encounter. I thank you, Father, that you said in your word that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And I thank you that as they share their anointed story, that somebody that has been wounded in the church is going to be healed and delivered. They're going to be set free and their Red Sea is going to open up. I believe it, and I can't wait to hear the testimonies. God, I may not hear it on this side, but I'll hear it on the other side. So we just want to say thank you, God, and I pray that those that do not know you, that they will come to know you in the pardon of their sins. If you're listening to this message and you accept Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and personal Savior, please inbox me. I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you. And I want to help you find a Bible believing and a Bible teaching church where God is being honored, where Jesus is being lifted up. If that's you, I want you to know that heaven is rejoicing over the decision that you made tonight. And if you're pondering whether or not God will ever forgive you because you're backslidden, because you walked away from God because of the church hurt. God loves you. I want to remind you about the prodigal son. The prodigal son, he left home, thought he had it all together, lost everything, humbled himself, and he came home, and his father restored him. And God wants to restore you. So if you're backslidden tonight, Daddy wants you to come home. He wants to welcome you home. And we want to welcome you home. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And the spirit of fear has been broken. The spirit of shame has been broken. Hallelujah. And the spirit of embarrassment has been broken. All of the tools that the enemy was using to keep you in the wilderness. Nah, it's over. It's time to come home. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So thank you all for joining me. This is Stacy Lunsford, the pastor of poetry, and you have been listening to the Heartbeat of God on the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. Continue to pray as you are led. If this message has blessed you, please let me know. I love you so much. And until next time, continue to shine your shine for Jesus. I love you. Go in peace.